RadioInfluence.com.
Why, Crusher, it's good to see you.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
And welcome to Crush Performance, everybody. I am Jeff Crushell. We are your weekly source for performance information. Listen, if you have any questions, comments, or smart remarks, please get to us. CrushPerformance.com is the website. You can follow us on Twitter at Jeff Crush, on Facebook, Crush Performance, and also on Instagram now. The social media platforms are really, really turning out to be a lot of fun. I'm not a big social media guy. We don't have a lot of followers. I'm not sure about building that whole side of the audience, but it's certainly a great way to share information and also a great way for us to communicate back and forth. Listen, if you do have questions, get to us. We answer every single message, email that we get. And if you have an idea or a topic you'd like us to investigate, we will look into it. And if we like it and if it's intriguing, fits into the timeline, we may dedicate a segment or even an entire episode to your idea. And we're going to outline some of the shows coming up this summer on Crush Performance, and some of them have come from our inbox. There's no question about it. That's coming up at the end of the show. Today, we're going to get back to a couple of conversations we've had in the past. We're going to visit with Andre Lachance from Sport Canada about their incredible long-term athlete development program. It is now being adopted around the world by sporting organizations and even professional organizations in terms of player development and strategies for maximizing development, but also just keeping people involved in sport. It's a tremendous program coming out of Sport Canada, and I think it's something everybody needs to be looking at. Andre Lachance is one of the masterminds involved in that program. I've been lucky enough to be around it and help out on the periphery a little bit, but it's a fantastic program. So we're going to talk to Andre about that. We're also going to talk to our good friend John Stevenson from Zone Performance about some of the programs they have going and how powerful they've been for his athletes. This is a conversation we had a while ago with John, but I wanted to play it again for everybody who hasn't heard it, because if there's two areas that we're going to be able to push human performance forward in, it's going to be coming out of the technology, not just equipment technology and outerwear technology, shoes, bats, balls, rackets, you name it, it's all moving forward, but also the technology that's allowing us to train and develop our athletes in the right direction. Now, we're able to do things we've never been able to do before because of technological advancements. And if there's one area above all others that I truly believe we have the most potential to push human performance forward, it's the brain. Not just sports psychology. And I'm not talking about visualization, though that's all part of it and a big, big part of it. But it's teaching the athletes how to control not just their brain, their thought processes, and their focus, but to do it real time. We have that technology now. We're going to talk to John about what they're doing and how powerful it's been for their athletes. A tremendous, tremendous conversation. So we're going to get right into it. Coming up right after this, Andre Lachance, long-term athlete development. John Stevenson later in the show. And we're going to outline the upcoming projects we're working on for this summer on Crush Performance. So stick around, everybody. We'll be right back. Crush Performance, we're your weekly source for performance information. Join me, Jeff Crushell, and the Con Man as we dig deep into the science and research of talent development and skill acquisition to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it really takes to achieve human maximum performance. And go to our website, crushperformance.com, to get details on my brand new book, The Performance Plan, strategies for top performance in sport, business, coaching, and life. Our goal is to help you get better, and it starts with The Performance Plan. Get control, get focused, and get results. We're Crush Performance. Join us weekly right here on Radio Influence.
This is Crush Performance. If you have questions, comments, or smart remarks, write to us at crushperformance.com.
Okay, welcome back to Crush Performance, everybody. Let's get right into it. We're joined now by Andre Lachance of Baseball Canada, also one of the main players in the great Canadian long-term athlete development program. Andre and I have worked together for years. I've had the privilege of helping out with some of the aspects of this great program when it comes to the baseball program, and it's been really interesting to watch this entire program come together, be applied, and now we're starting to really see the benefits and the outcomes. Andre, thanks for joining us today.
Pleasure, Jeff.
Well, today's a big conversation because the long-term athlete development program that's one of the, I guess, sort of crown jewels of Canadian sport is really come a long ways, Andre. And I had a chance to attend the the summit in Ottawa and Quebec. And, you know, to see countries from all over the world implementing this program is just a tribute, I think, to how successful this whole system is.
Yeah, and it basically started slow back in, I believe, 2006, where as an NSO here at Baseball Canada, we were exposed for the first time to the long-term athlete development pathway that that some experts created at that time. And then Sport Canada kind of fell in love with the pathway and thought it would be ideal if all national sport organizations could create a version of a sports-specific model. So that's all sports in Canada that are funded by Sport Canada. So we went through as an organization here at Baseball Canada to kind of look at where we were at that time with our sport, where were the weaknesses and strengths and opportunities and stuff like that to create our own program. And then since then, it has evolved from a generic model from also like a small group of people to a larger group of people, which I'm happy to be part of right now. And it has evolved also, like you mentioned, at the international level. So you see like nations such as Australia, New Zealand, England, South Africa, like everywhere now, like we see some of our experts going to those countries and try to help them in creating their own system.
We're talking with Andre Lachance, part of the leadership team for Canada Sport for Life. The website is CanadianSportForLife.ca, and this is available for every single coach. The one thing I really like about this program, Andre, as it sort of came together, and we heard rumors about it, but to actually see it implemented now and running in parallel with the coaching development program, Canada is really, really leading the way here, and it's something to be proud of.
And you mentioned something very interesting. Like we like to claim that LTAD is an athlete center program, and it's also a coach driven program. So the two go together. So if you don't mesh the two together, you're going to run into trouble for sure. So every time we go internationally, or even when we talk domestically here with our other sports that are embracing LTAD, so we make sure that we link the two together. And like you mentioned, it's we're pretty lucky here because we have the Coaching Association of Canada that are doing an outstanding job in providing NSOs with great content, which is developed by experts as well. And those two groups are talking to each other in order to, like I said earlier, to mesh the two component together. So it remains an athlete-centered approach, and at the same time, it's a coach-driven system.
We're talking with Andre Lachance, part of the Canadian Sport for Life long-term athlete development program. Andre, let's talk about the program itself. For parents and coaches and maybe even athletes that don't really know what the program's all about, it sort of breaks the developmental process down into certain stages of development. And let's just make one thing clear off the start. The idea of the program is not by any way, shape, or form to develop high-end, world-class, or professional athletes. The idea behind the model is to help kids have success at every developmental level so they stay involved in sport.
Yeah, and actually, if you remember, Jeff, the old system, like which was basically a pyramid, like lots of kids playing sport,
right,
at the younger age, and then as you move up, like if you get to the top of the pyramid, well, this is where you could end up playing for Canada at the Olympics or being a pro athlete and so on and so forth. But as we move to the top of the pyramid, like we were losing tons of kids because the system was not offering them anything there to succeed. So with the new Canadian Sport for Life movement and the LTAD pathway, we've recreated that model. So at each step of the way, like stage, like you mentioned, it's a stage by stage approach. But the component of being active for life has been added to what we didn't have before. So at any point during the during your pathway as a young athlete, you can always become what we call an active for life athlete. And this is where all, like the even the adults can play locally volleyball or can do speed skating or whatever it is, for just the sake of staying active through their lives, which is very important. And if you look at the first three stages of development, which are active start, fundamentals, and learn to train, this is where we call those three together physical literacy. So this is where you get the foundations of the basic movements that will help you decide at some point do you want to stay as a baseball player, or do you want to switch to a cross-country ski or football, whatever it is? But if you acquire all those skills early on, you'll be able to do those changes rather than, okay, if you stick with one sport early on, then later on you will be too late to get all the necessary skills to change to another sport.
Right. And Andre, one of the very interesting things that come out of this whole system is the incredible information that we get. And one of them, for certain, talks about specialization and early specialization in sport. Now, we know there may be a couple of sports that have been identified as sort of early specialization sports, maybe gymnastics, maybe figure skating, not even necessarily in those two cases, but most certainly we see younger athletes competing at the world stages at higher levels in those sports. But the idea and the science behind the specialization, I think, is really apparent in the LTAD model. And I think that's one of the things I really truly like about these developmental stages, you know, getting kids involved in a bunch of different movement patterns, really giving them a sampling period, as you mentioned, through those first three stages.
And it's so important because, you know, like it's important to mention to all those parents out there, like the chances of having your daughter or your son making it to the NHL, or Major League Baseball, the NBA, or professional volleyball in Europe, and those type things, like it's fairly low. You know, if you look at those percentages, like it's in some sports, it's less than a percent of kids that will end up playing at that level. So it's important, like in especially younger age, to expose them to as many activities as possible so they can, we discussed before with our other sports as well, so it's they become good at anything, so down the road when they become parents, they can teach their kids how to do the same thing, and then we get a better society with better health system and everything. So that's very important.
We're talking with Andre Lachance, part of the leadership team for the Canadian Sport for Life Long-Term Athlete Development Program. Andre, let's talk about this for a second. Another interesting part that's really come out of the entire model is the competition to practice ratios. Now, I think this is something that you would think would be pretty fundamental, but it's one of the areas I feel that we're making the largest mistake in. We compete way too much early in the developmental model, and we don't practice as much. And I think that's something that really comes out in this model.
And one thing that is important to mention also is that the movement is not against competition. I think it's important to put the emphasis on it, because like people thought at some point that, okay, Canadian Sport for Life is against competition. That's not the case. We're more about using the competition for what's good for the athlete. So at some point, we believe that more practice is more beneficial for the athlete. And we believe also that at some point, having more competition is also good. So it depends where you are and the stages of development that we've put together. But we hardly believe that competition should be serving the needs of the athletes. And it's always back to that question, what's the best for my athletes right now? And at some point, like we mentioned about physical literacy, for the first three stages of development, we believe that skills development is the key. So that says that if you play more games than you practice, there's a good chance that your skills development won't be as good as we wish they would be. So that's why we put together those ratios. For an example, like at fundamentals, we say it's 80%. That should be 70 to 80% should be practice versus maybe 10 or 20 competition. But there's always ways in your practice sessions to make them fun and to create a challenge for them, so they get the best of both worlds.
Yeah, and the fundamental stage is stage number 2 in the 7-stage model, and it's girls 6 to 8, boys 6 to 9. The website is canadasportforlife.ca. You can check out the LTAD stages there. Andre, you know, let's take baseball, for example. In Canada, and I'm trying to figure out the numbers here, but we've got to be in the top 3, most certainly the top 5 countries for producing high-end baseball players, per capita, I'm saying. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that, you know, during the winter season, when these kids get through in the mid stages, they're deciding baseball's my game. They're not out competing on the field. They're indoors, you know, focusing on skill development. And when I talk to the, you know, directors of scouting or the GMs across Major League Baseball, they love the Canadian kids because of the skill set. Now, one thing they do say is they're a little behind in the competitive side because they don't have as many games, but that's easy to make up later in the model.
Exactly, and that's exactly what we believe too. Like we believe that that skills development is very important again, and this is why we build. For an example, like we used to have, like you probably remember when you used to play baseball growing up, playing t-ball. Like maybe lots of parents will remember t-ball, where we had one little kid at the plate and 10 others waiting doing mostly nothing, like on the field. Like we changed that. Like we play six against six right now. We have color hats based on, if you're familiar with the martial arts, they have color belts. We have color hats now, meaning that kids can improve through the system based on skills development. So it forces coaches also to make sure that skills is at the center of everything they're doing, which I believe is key. And back also to your point, like moving up the ladder, then we had some more competition. And yes, like they could become a professional athlete at some point, maybe missing some of the key element of competition. But like you mentioned, this is something you can pick up easily or easier than everything you could have missed as far as skills development earlier.
Right. And we know that there's certain ages where, you know, it's just so important to get that exposure to different skill development. That's why this progressive model is just brilliant. The other thing it provides is not overstimulation to the athletes. I think one of the big mistakes we see, especially in the early ages, Andre, you know, coaches, they're out there, they're excited, they want to give the kids everything, but maybe we push them or give them a little too far or give them a little too much, push them a little too far, and maybe ask things that they're not quite ready to do. And that's, again, one of the great things I see in this flow of progression as we work through the stages.
And it's funny you mentioned that, because we recently came up with what we call the absolutes. And the absolute is exactly what you just described, in the sense that we're giving coaches what should be the most important things they should be working with their kids through the course of the summer. And what we see, and the reason why we created that is we've seen coaches out there with all great intentions. And most of the times those are moms and dads, by the way, in our sport, which is different in other sports. But great intentions, they want to give everything they know to their kids. But sometimes, like you said, it's a bit too much. And they just go on surface on what should be the most important skills to develop. So that's why we developed those absolutes, where we're trying to educate our coaches to not only touch on those key areas, but to go a little bit deeper and to make them better at those important skills, whether they are technical, tactical, which are not really a lot in the early stage of development, but we're also now talking about physical, mental, and life skills, because we believe in our sport that our athletes will eventually, if they're not having a professional career, they'll end up being like lawyers, doctors, a police officer, whatever it is. So we believe our sports can teach life skills as well.
Yeah, and not only that, Andre, when these people, you know, move on to their professional careers outside of sport, are still involved in sport, but they wind up coaching their kids, and now they have a real good understanding of how the coaching and the developmental process goes. And that is creating a sport culture, which Canada has been doing here for the last little while, and I think it's showing.
And you can add also that they're becoming coaches, but some of them are becoming officials, volunteers, like local associations, presidents, treasurer, and so on and so forth. So they're giving back in different types of capacities.
Yeah, great stuff, Andre. Well, we know this has been a real big movement, and it's moved across a number of sports. Now, the original model has seven stages, right from active start to active for life and everything in between. But there's some interesting, I guess, differences between some of the individual sports, where there might be a few more stages or some changes and some modifications based on requirements of the sport. How many sports are we involved in here now in Canada, Andre, and where are we at this point in time?
I believe we're talking a little bit over 60 right now sports that I've developed their sport-specific LTAD model. So that's one thing. Now sports are going through different things. One is implementation. The second thing is a competition review. So sports are going through an analysis of their competition system and see, okay, so what could we do in order to improve our system, either at the national level or domestically at the provincial and local level. And the other thing also that is getting big out there as well is what we call the skills matrix, which refers back to what I mentioned earlier about the absolutes, where sports are looking at, okay, at each stage of development, we know what's important, but what's going to really happen when it's time to deliver the key elements of our sports to our kids. So those are the three main things that are happening right now, and there's always different kind of great initiatives that sports will do in order to create new programs based on their LTAD model. Like we did RallyCap, but others are doing Fun Sticks, for an example, in the field hockey and so on and so forth. So there's lots of great initiatives out there for sure.
We're talking with Andre Lachance, part of the leadership team for Canada Sport for Life long-term athlete development. Andre, it's been a great sort of, you know, view that I've had watching this program develop and seeing it impact sports right down to the grassroots levels. And you know, I'm pretty interested to see now the outcomes at the higher level of sports, as Canada is pumping out some really, really quality athletes. But one of the key bridges here is taking this model, you know, paralleling it with coaching development, but also, you know, teaching the movement skills that are required. We talked about it a little bit earlier. You mentioned this idea of physical literacy. I really think this might be the crux to the whole program, because let's face it, whether we're talking about health and wellness or high performance sports, just recreational sports, movement is the critical component to the entire industry.
And there's no doubt that each sport out there, we have to be better at skills development, especially on the physical side of things. Like if you talk to basketball, they know how to dribble the ball and everything. But when it's time to look at, I'm just giving an example there, same thing for everybody. So we're good at the technical, sport-specific stuff. But when it's time to talk about specific movement and movement skills, we need to be better at that for sure, and this is why we're trying to talk about more about physical literacy and see, okay, like for an example, baseball. How can we do? How can we be better in teaching fundamental movement skills in order for our kids not only to become good or better baseball players, but if at some point they want to switch, then they can do it. So if we are able to do that, and if the old group of sports are able to do the same thing, then we're going to create a machine, and we're going to create a system where not only developing players, but we're going to be developing athletes first and then players after, which refers back a little bit earlier about the skills versus the competition system.
Yeah, great, Andre. Well, listen, we appreciate your time today and appreciate the work that everybody at Canada Sport for Life has done on this model. It's been tremendous. And again, it's global now. And it's also going well beyond sports. We're seeing academic establishments and businesses modifying this to work in the inside of their, you know, developmental model. So just a great program, Andre. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much.
And there you have it. Some powerful insights into the great Canadian long-term athlete development program. It is a program that's now being adopted all around the world. And I think we really need to push this forward to keep kids involved everywhere. And not only that, again, don't forget that out of this type of a program, though the main directive isn't high performance, you're going to get more high performance athletes. Just the management of the long-term development approach and the power of that managerial process in terms of reducing injuries, avoiding burnout, and really impacting those dropout rates that we're seeing. I mean, this is a really, really big part of sport moving forward, and we're hoping that more and more countries take it on. So I want to thank Andre for that. But it does take planning, right? It's a long-term athlete development, and it takes planning. In our programs, I really like to shoot 3 years. I like that three-year window for athletes at any level, whether they're seasoned veteran pros or young developing athletes. That three-year window really, really works well. And if we're in an Olympic cycle, it really helps build momentum going into that fourth year, where we can then really focus and attack that podium approach. So whether you're in it for world-class competition or just for fun, it takes planning. You can't go in blind. Regardless of what you're doing, your organization, if you're just in it for recreation, the organization you're in has to plan. But if you're attacking a goal, a scholarship, pro contract, whatever it might be, you have to have a plan. And it goes back to the conversations we've been having around the book, our book that is now out, The Performance Plan. Listen, I want to thank everybody for the great reviews, the feedback and comments. The book is called The Performance Plan, Strategies for Top Performance in Sport, Business, Coaching, and Life. And it was a fun book. It was my first kick at the author can, and it turned out quite well. It's a short, quick read. It sort of sets the tone. The idea was, and the question I was asked that really got me to make the jump to writing this was, hey, if you had an athlete or a group of athletes or an organization, where do you start? And listen, it doesn't start with the physical training. It doesn't start with the technical tactical training. It starts with the attitude and the overall approach for what you're trying to do. And that's what the book's all about. I'm just hoping maybe some people read it and maybe we help some people out. I know that I wrote it with my athletes in mind, my organizations and the businesses and people that I help. But I'm hoping that maybe it gets out there, and it's been going really well. So I want to thank that. The paperback is now out and the audiobook is on the way. So it's been a lot of fun. But that said, it's about proper planning, having the right approach, the foundation, and the direction. So great conversation with Andre Lachance. Hey, let's cut up for a quick break. When we come back, let's tap into maybe the most powerful area for the future of human performance. Combination, actually, of two really important factors, technology and the mind, right after this. Stick around, everyone.
This is Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information with Jeff Crushell. Get in the action and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Today, we're getting back to some of the basic concepts that are now forming our approach to athlete development and skill development as we look at the great long-term athlete development approach, as well as tapping into and controlling the mind real time. Technology has led us down this path and is now allowing us to do things we've never been able to do before. And joining us right now to talk more about that and some of the exciting programs that are available for athletes is registered psychologist John Stevenson from Zone Performance. John, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me again, Jeff.
Yeah, no, our pleasure, most certainly, especially as we sort of head into this spring and summer season. You know, a lot of athletes heading into their summer training programs, the baseball and summer athletes are getting ready for their in-season programs. And you guys at Zone Performance are kicking off what I think is a fantastic program to help athletes get back on track, stay on track, and really, really impact their performance. It's called the Podium Program. Hey, John, maybe outline the program and why this is going to be so powerful that for the athletes who are able to get involved.
Well, when I work with an athlete, Jeff, I mean, I draw a wheel on a board and I basically, you know, have different spokes of the wheel. And the way I try to explain it to athletes is, to me, there's five big crucial areas for your athletic development to really maximize your performance. And the first one you're very familiar with is the physical component. So you got to look at all of the areas, your strength, your flexibility, you know, your cardio, really looking at all those various components. And there's so many good people that provide that training. Second part is the technical skills, whatever your sport may be, whether it's pistol shooting, hockey, golf, and there's so many, again, great coaches that are going to really help you in that area. I find most athletes, Jeff, really focus, you know, we're talking about hockey, but most hockey players really focus on those two areas. And the question that I always ask, you know, these guys is, what percentage of the game do you think, you know, is mental? And let's even like just make it like, say, 25%. And I call it ROI, return on investment. Well, if they say even a quarter of the game is mental, why would you be spending 90% or 95% of your time on something where it's not, it doesn't equate to that same amount, you know, in terms of output or gain? And so the third and fourth area that our program really addresses is the tactical part of the game and the mental part of the game. And the last part is the lifestyle, the nutrition, the hydration, and sleep. And I think that a lot of athletes train really, really hard, but they don't train smart. I mean, if you're not resting and recovering, and I know you guys just did a show there recently about sleep. Well, if you're not getting proper sleep and proper nutrition, then how do you plan to go to the gym each day, you know, really giving your maximal effort? So when I show this wheel, if you're not developing all of those areas, how well is that wheel going to roll? And I think it really gives them a good graphic, you know, presentation about these are the areas that we have to, you know, be more well-rounded in our development, in our training. Yeah. So the podium program came out of Own the Podium, the Olympic program. And Dr. Penny Werdner, who's the Dean of Kinesiology at the UFC, and Dr. Margaret Dupree, she's a professor at the University of Ottawa, they developed this program along with Dr. Pierre Beauchamp. And it works on what we call the psychophysiology of the program. It's literally with your brain and your body learning how to be very focused and very calm, learning how to manage your state. And it uses what we call biofeedback and neurofeedback. And the really cool thing about this program is it's weight training for your brain. You can literally see like how how well, like, so if you're a hockey player and you're going 45 seconds hard, really hard on a shift, and now you have to be able to come off the ice and get into that nice rest and recovery, shut your brain off so that you can, you know, really re-energize. So now when you go back onto the ice, you can bring that 100% effort once again. And then that's going to improve your consistency. And, you know, you and I have talked a lot about this. To me, peak performance is when you're not thinking. It's just, you're just reading, reacting, playing by feel. You don't have all these thoughts running through your head about, you know, what's the coach doing? What's my teammates doing? What's the ref doing? And when you do a program like this, you literally train your brain how to, like, one of the brain waves that we look at is busy brain. Being able to shut your brain off and just go. That's why you do all your training. Like, this is why you spend hours and hours in the gym, you know, working, perfecting your technique, because now you don't want to be thinking about mechanics on the golf course or on the, you know, on the ice or wherever the playing surface is. You want to just go out and play. And so a program like this literally shows tangible results and shows them in the moment how well they're able to focus, how well they're able to let go and be in the present moment.
Yeah, John Stevenson, registered psychologist with Zone Performance, joins us. John, I really like everything about this program. That's why we wanted to have you on so urgently here as your program kicks off in May. I get the importance of this. I've seen this work on the Olympic podiums. I've seen this work for MVPs in almost every single sport. This isn't something that's, you know, I guess exclusive for elite athletes. I mean, everybody can apply this almost in every facet of life. But you said something very interesting, okay? You know, people really gravitate towards the physical and technical side. And you know why? I think it's because that's what they know. You know, very few people even understand the biofeedback and neurofeedback systems. So it's really hard for them to relate how that's going to help out in terms of their overall performance. Now, here's the interesting thing. You know, there's a period of time, I think, in an athlete's development where, you know, that physical and technical side might be the trump card. That might be the focus that needs to happen, because we know that if an athlete has an interest in a particular sport, one way to keep them intrigued is to make sure they have success. And again, that goes back to the long-term athlete development. We want people staying in sport. But if an athlete can sort of hone in and work on the mental side of the game, that return on investment that you mentioned is almost immediate. And that's what we want everybody to understand here. You know, getting into a program like this is absolutely instant returns on performance inside of sport. You know, where there's a bunch of big mistakes being made on the physical conditioning side, you have to do it right. You still need a coach there. On the technical side, you got to know exactly what you're doing. And even then, that doesn't necessarily mean increased performance. But I dare say, and correct me if I'm wrong here, it doesn't matter what level of sport you're at. If you get into a program like this, you will see a massive impact on your outcome performances.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the sports, you know, being that it's spring and summer, most people's minds right now, pardon the pun, turn to golf. And there's a program in the United States, two of the best women's golf instructors, like just golf instructors, period, are Pia Nelson and Lynn Marriott.
Right, for sure.
And they have a program called Vision 54. And the one thing they talk about, Jeff, like when you go to hit a golf shot, is there's the thinking box, and then there's the playing box. And there's like literally a decision line. And one of the things that they talk about all the time is, you know, and I hear clients all the time coming into my office, you know, John, I just can't bring the driving range to the course. Well, there's their first mental mistake, Jeff. It's you don't bring the driving range to the course. You bring the course to the driving range. And so what you're doing is like when they talk about this playing box and the thinking box, well, behind this decision line, that's when you're bringing in your club selection, the win, the lie, all of these factors, and being able to, you know, develop all of your sensibilities to really make a good decision in terms of what you need to do to execute that shot. But once you cross that decision line, now you just have to trust. You have to shut your brain off, because if all of a sudden you pull your club back and right in the middle of the swing, thing, you're going, don't block it to the left. Don't hit it into the water. Well,
been there, man. I've been in the water too, and I've hit it to the left, right, and into the trees and everywhere else, by the way.
And the thing is, most golfers want to go, geez, what am I doing mechanically wrong? When it wasn't a mechanical problem to begin with at all. And so when you do a program like this, there's where you learn how to control your muscle tension, learn how to shut your brain off, learn how to really get a pinpoint focus, and being able to keep that focus for the length of time that you need to execute your performance. Whether, you know, if it's a gymnast and they have a routine that lasts a minute and 30 seconds long, well, you have to train your brain to really concentrate for that length of time. You know, Alex Bilodeau, Jennifer Heil, when they did this program, being able to learn how to really concentrate for 30, 35 seconds. And in that sport, I mean, if you don't focus, there's the real reality of, you know, putting yourself into danger. So a program like this really shows them how, you know, most athletes have no idea that they can control their heart rate. Skin conductance really measures their emotional reactivity, and they really don't realize that they can learn how to self-regulate this. So it doesn't matter what sport. What we do when we do this program is we obviously modify it to the conditions of the sport and the length. I mean, for some people, they need to concentrate for literally 10 seconds. Other people, they need to concentrate for, you know, 5 minutes, you know, depending on the nature of the sport. But then we just modify it accordingly.
John Stevenson, registered psychologist from Zone Performance. John, I'm not going to lie to you. This is an incredibly powerful conversation. And I don't say that lightly, because even at the highest levels of sports, we see athletes struggling to take practice into the game. And I really love the concept, you know, talking about the top golf instructors in the world, breaking it down to a real simple concept of a thinking box and a playing box. You mentioned that their approach is, hey, you can't take the practice to the driving range or to the game. You got to take the game to the driving range, right? And that's a really interesting approach, because I think people, you know, just inherently do it the wrong way. And it's just seems to be the natural thing to do when you're trying to achieve in sports, but it's not the correct way. And I really like that concept.
Well, and you'll watch. I mean, I know you had Jim Fannin on there a few weeks ago. And if you were just to stand, you and I, Jeff, on the driving range and just watch people, you know, on the driving range, one of the things you'll see, all of their time and energy being put onto themselves, as opposed to where are we directing our focus? Well, all of our energy and all of our focus needs to be on the target. And you'll see people, you know, just machine gunning drivers, machine gunning, you know, 7-irons. Well, where do you do that on the golf course? You don't. And so, like, just a simple thing, like for the audience right now, I mean, one of the simplest things you can do every time you're on the driving range, never hit the same club twice. You know, there's a time and a place, what I call block practice, where maybe you are working on a mechanic that your swing coach has got you working on. But then there also has to be a part of the practice, okay, where I want you to play the first 3 holes of your golf course, or literally play 18 holes of your golf course on the driving range. So you're picking a different target, you're picking a different club each time. You're literally going through your routine, because one of the biggest culprits in golf is time. And that's where, you know, time in between shots. And that's where a whole bunch of, you know, thoughts can come into your brain that can really influence your performance. And being able to stay, you know, quiet and calm and not be thinking about all these mechanics. And that's where you can really make your practice on the driving range purposeful and meaningful, so that you're better to execute on the golf course.
Hi, we're talking with John Stevenson, registered psychologist from Zone Performance. John, great, great stuff here. Now, let me ask you this, okay? We talk about biofeedback and neurofeedback. These are big words that a lot of people who aren't in the know just won't understand. It might even seem scary and way out there and not for me. We don't want people to get that perception here. So let's break this down a little bit more. You started to do it there, but let's break it down a little bit more and just let people know how functional and easy this can really be if you know how to go about this business.
Well, I really try to just make neurofeedback very simple, Jeff. And what neurofeedback is, your brain produces electrical activity. And just think of a brain wave as just like a wave in the ocean. You have a big wave, you have a small wave, you have fast waves, you have slow waves. And when they look at brain waves, they measure it by speed and amplitude. And each brain wave represents a mental state of consciousness. And so, for example, if I was to hook you up, Jeff, in the middle of the night, and we were watching your brain waves, we would see this very big, slow brain wave called delta. You're just in that very, you know, it's a very slow, you're right out, you know, you're sleeping. What happens is with some of the athletes, we have a brain wave called theta, and that's tuning out, daydreaming. And you know my background, it was in the hockey world, and I was a goalie. And believe it or not, a lot of because the other area that I work with is ADHD and ADD. And a lot of athletes, there's a lot of parents that put their kids into sports to help them to focus better. But we have a lot of kids that have ADHD. They have a lot of high levels of theta, which means they're tuning out, they're daydreaming, they're drifting off. And there's actually been several studies where goalies, in particular ice hockey goaltenders, there's a tendency for them to have, you know, ADD or ADHD. And so what we can do with this brainwave, if you were to come into my office and you were watching an athlete doing this training, it looks like they're playing a video game. So one of the animations is a roller coaster. And what we do is we look at the different brainwaves. So busy brain is a very fast brainwave. It means you're thinking, you're ruminating, you're worried, you're anxious, you're nervous. Well, when we're playing sports, whatever it may be, we don't want to be in that state. So literally, we can train your brain how to reduce that theta level and to reduce the busy brain. And then there's another brainwave that we look at. It's called sensory motor rhythm, SMR. And the way I like to describe it, it's like that big cat that's ready to pounce on its prey. So it's physically calm, but it's very mentally alert. So what we do is when you're playing this, like when you're doing this animation, in order to get the roller coaster to move, you literally need to train your body and your brain to be very focused and very calm. And so if you're literally moving the animation with your mind, and I know it looks far out and it sounds far out, but we can measure it. We can literally measure how well and how long you can be in this, what I call ideal performance state, and we can train it. And it's typically, it takes about, like for the Olympic athletes, to really, really get it and really grasp the body and grasp the mind, it takes somewhere between 15 and 25 sessions to really master this skill. So this is what we mean by going to your mental gym. So we have athletes come in once a week or twice a week where they really work on developing this skill. And in particular, if there's any athletes who are playing contact sports who unfortunately maybe have suffered a concussion, what we see is a real spike in that theta brainwave activity. So, and in the delta range. So it's their brain's not allowing them to focus to the best of their ability. So when they do this type of training, it literally rewires the brain, the neurological network, to get their brain to be working more efficiently so that they can concentrate more intensely and for longer periods of time on the playing field.
John Stevenson, registered psychologist from Zone Performance. I absolutely love this stuff, man. I love it. And I'm telling you right now, we could talk for an hour on this. We have about a minute left, okay? Your program, Own the Podium, is kicking off in May. There's only 20 spots available. This is one of the great resources in the Edmonton area for anybody who's listening. John, how can they get more information on the program, get in touch with you, and for goodness sake, get involved in this program?
They can call me directly at 780-803-5646. They can go to the website zoneperformance.ca, and it provides information there about the program. And the other thing I just want to mention, Jeff, is because I am a registered psychologist, a lot of people, whether they have insurance or they have Blue Cross, there is a possibility, there may be a possibility that they can get this program covered through their insurance program, or if the parents have an employment assistance program, they might get this program covered through their insurance. So there might not be any cost to them to do this program, but they have to check it out with their insurance provider. And that's one of the nice benefits of being able to, you know, being that I'm a registered psychologist, that they can get this program covered. And it's just a matter of time. The biggest thing with this program is you have to be very committed. You have to be willing to really work on your mental game. And, you know, over a 4-month process, 5-month process, you will see big results, big differences.
Great stuff. Zoneperformance.ca. We might get Connor on this program, see if we can really max out his producing skills. That would be dynamite.
Well, any area where you have to work on performance, it definitely will help.
John Stevenson, really appreciate your time today. Fantastic program, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Thanks again, Jeff.
There you go, everybody. A great conversation with John Stevenson, the power of the mind. We're just beginning to learn how to harness it and teach our athletes how to control it real time. An exciting time in the world of human performance across the board. We're talking our military, our emergency responders. We're talking our police force. We're talking anybody that has to react, make quick decisions in the heat of battle, live, real time, cool, calm, collected decision making. It's going to save a lot of people. It's also going to push human performance to the next level. A very, very exciting time in the world of human performance. On the Crush Performance side, everybody, coming up as we head into the summer, we've been working on a lot of projects, some of them steered from our emails, as we mentioned, those questions, comments, smart remarks, and we've been asking for your thoughts and comments on topics or ideas you want us to investigate. Some of these shows are coming straight out of our Twitter feed and our email inbox. I want to thank everybody who's contributed thoughts and ideas, and again, we get back to every single email and message that we get. So please do get to us. So we're looking at a couple of great shows coming up, and coming right off of this unbelievable conversation with John and some of the new advents in terms of our access to training the brain. We're going to get back into that. We're going to look at some newer technology that's also allowing us to tap into the brain and how it's helping athletes perform in the heat of battle. Some really good conversations there. We're going to get back to sleep, recovery, and performance. Again, sleep is our number one priority in performance planning. And we're going to talk to some of the world's top experts about how you can get better sleep. We're going to get back to our war on sugar. We got to revisit the conversation of how much sugar are we actually consuming. Listen, people, it's alarming. And we've got to get a hold on this thing because we're losing this battle right now. And we've got to get in front of it. We're going to talk about how you and your teammates and your students and your employees and your athletes can start making some small adjustments to make major, major improvements, not just on your health and wellness, but your performance as well. We're going to look into the sport of running. Where have we come from? Where are we at? And how much farther can we push the human body? Well, we're going to look at what's been going on in the landscape of running. We know about the barefoot movement. We know about pushing human performance as Nike and Adidas try to push and break that 2-hour marathon time. Incredible things going on in the world of running. We'll talk about that. And coming up next week, maybe one of the most important shows we've done in a long time. The episode is called Drunken Stone. We're looking at the impacts of alcohol and recreational drug use on human performance. Listen, in the age of legalized marijuana, what is the impact of drugs and alcohol on performance? And what are the risks? In certain states in the U.S. and Canada now, looking at legalization from coast to coast, there are some major issues that need to be addressed. And we are going to be in front of this one, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you'll join us. For me, it'll be one of the most important shows of this year so far. So we're looking forward to that one. And we've got some great guests joining us next week. So that'll do it for today. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe. We're on virtually every single podcast platform imaginable. So hopefully you can get to it. And also share it with your friends. We've got a really big lineup we've been working on for this summer. We hope you will be there as well. That'll do it for now. We'll talk to you next time. Now, go get out there and get better.
Bye now. Don't forget to write.
This is a Sitting Ringside with David Penzer. Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
Ladies and gentlemen, David Arquette. Do you remember at what point they mentioned putting the world title on you? And if so, what was your reaction?
When it first happened, I was like, are you guys sure? I don't know. I sort of said yes because it meant that I got to travel and I got to be part of this crazy world and get to hang out with my heroes. And I didn't take into consideration how sort of disrespectful it was to the belt. I didn't really you know, take that into consideration. You know, but, you know, I just watched the WrestleMania documentary about, you know, the history of WrestleMania.
Right.
And, you know, from Cyndi Lauper and Mr. T on, there's always been a sort of celebrity component. I guess it's just the fact that I won the belt that was the big thing that upset everyone, or I wasn't Arnold Schwarzenegger or whatever.
Sitting Ringside with David Penzer can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.